Welcome back to another episode of Take a Shelfie, the podcast about beer and bottle shops and the beer you can get at bottle shops. I'm Jeff Martin, and with me is my co-host and comrade in craft, Matt Prince.
Ooh, I like Matt. That. Hey, Jeff, I like that. Comrade in craft. That's good.
Yeah. I'm going to try to find a different one of those to do every episode.
Please do.
And we're going to run out real fast.
Yeah, well, yeah, just, you know.
Warning to the listeners.
All right.
Let's start off this episode by talking about what we have in our hands here.
Well, Jeff, go ahead, because you brought this beer.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit last episode about what started us onto our craft beer journey, and I mentioned that one of the beers that got me going was Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And I was at the bottle shop near my house the other day, and I caught a glimpse of a six-pack of Sierra Nevada's 40th anniversary Hoppy Anniversary Ale. It's a 65 IBU, 6.0% ABV. Likely qualifies as an IPA. And it's, you know, I wanted to get that based on what we talked about, you know, and just enjoy sort of a West Coasty, piney, citrusy hop profile beer. So, yeah. So, what do you think of it?
Well, first, the aroma was amazing. I mean, I put my nose right into it, and boy, did it smell good. Second, Sierra Nevada is incredible, and I can't say that enough. They are usually every head brewer's starter beer. You know, every head brewer says, I got hooked on craft beer through Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and now you have people who their first hazy IPA is Hazy Little Thing, which is, has been named the top beer of 2019 on different lists. Now I'm sitting here drinking their 40th anniversary ale, and it's amazing. A lot of times when pretentious beer people from the East Coast who think that all IPAs should be hazy drink a West Coast beer, they're like, oh, it's too bitter, it's this or that. This is so smooth. It's got the perfect combination of piney and citrus, and it just goes down so nicely. I'm loving this beer. You know, if I was stuck on an island, you know, this is the kind of beer I want with me. You know, if I had to choose one, this is the kind of beer I want with me, because I could drink a ton of this, and it's so complex that you don't get sick of it.
I would not have thought that you would have said that, but I appreciate that you do. It's also a great – you talk about how brewers say they got hooked on it. It's also a good exercise in brewing, and I guess, like, you know, Take a Shelfie Bingo is probably going to include Jeff brings up the fact that he homebrews. It's going to be one of the slots on that. But
It could be a drinking game.
It can be.
Every time Jeff brings up homebrewing.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a good style to try to make. Because
Wait. When you make beer, what kind of person are you?
A homebrewer.
Drink.
It's a good style to try to make, because those early kits that you get usually, they encourage you to do the 60-minute hop edition, the 30-minute hop edition, the 15-minute hop edition, the 5-minute hop edition, the flame-out hop edition. And the current popular styles of beer, the New England's, that's not really necessary at all. I know a lot of New England-style beers that they don't do a 60-minute hop edition at all. They boil it for 60 minutes, they turn the flame off, and they throw in a bunch of hops, and then while it's fermenting, they throw in a bunch more hops. So it's an interesting experience to make something like this, where I'm certain there's early editions of hops in this to get this kind of bitterness. It's very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really digging it. Now, Jeff, you know, last episode we talked a lot about how bottle shops kind of crafted our own craft beer experience. Bottle shops play a huge role in beer, but, you know, the epicenter of beer, you know, where it all begins is are the breweries themselves. And so that's what we're really going to focus on today's episode. So let's just, like, get right down to it. Let's get right into the heart of it. What has been your favorite brewery experience that you've ever had, you know, being at the place where it's brewed?
I have two that come to mind. The first was for my, 26th or 27th birthday. I mentioned on the last episode that one of the first microbreweries I got into was Flying Fish in New Jersey. And my friends took me to the brewery, and we did a brewery tour there. And so I got to learn how flying fish was made. I got a couple, you know, glasses, and you know, there were there were a bunch of tastings. I also remember it was really, really warm there that day, and I have a great memory where a young woman who was on the tour with us nearly passed out from the heat, and my friend Pat saved her. He caught her, and he brings that up to this day. But the other experience, so that was, you know, sort of one where I got to go to a brewery that I really, really loved. And the second one I'll bring up, and you know, this is a story that you and I are going to tell forever, is that on my 35th birthday, your 30th birthday, we went to Queens. We went to New York. We did a New York brewery trip. And our thought was we would start at Other Half and do a can release at Other Half. And we thought, okay, we'll get up early. We'll drive up. We'll get in line. You know, we'll be there super early. We'll experience the whole line party, and we'll get our beers. What we didn't realize until either the night before or maybe even on the drive up, that day they were doing collaboration releases. It was one collaboration with Trillium and one collaboration with Monkish. Both highly, highly regarded breweries. And so we got there at what? 5 in the morning?
Yeah, really early.
And we were 700th in line?
Yeah.
They had, at that point, stopped giving out bracelets. We waited and waited and waited because there was nothing else to do. No other brewery in the area opened until noon. So we said, well, in for a penny, in for a pound. And we slowly crawled forward. And, you know, we got to a point where, you know, the line rep was walking up and down. He was saying to people, 20 people in front of us, we have a pretty good idea that you're going to get some beer because not everyone's buying their allotment. And then, you know, an hour later, he was saying to those people, you're definitely going to get beer. And then he was saying to people, 5 people in front of us, you might get beer. And so we start thinking, okay, we have a shot here. And we're about 12 people from the door. And they say, sorry, guys, we're sold out. So that's not the memorable brewery experience. The memorable experience is the next place we went to. It was by that time noon, so we had been in line for 7 hours. It was July. It was really, really warm. And we quickly abandoned. One of our friends was smart and went into the tap room and got a couple growlers of the things they were selling that day. So props to Brian for doing that. But we went to the next brewery on our list, which was this, you know, random place near Barclays Center, about a mile and a half from Barclays Center, called Threes. And we sat down, and I was super, super grumpy because I had not had any beer. You know, I sort of rage quit when they told us we weren't getting beer at Other Half. I walked to the McDonald's across the street and just got a soda because I desperately wanted hydration. But we sat down at Threes, and I ordered their Pilsner because it was hot, and I just wanted something refreshing. So I ordered their Pilsner, which is called Vlier. And I took a sip of it, and it was like the angels were singing.
Yeah. It's good beer.
And it sort of set the day back on track.
Yeah.
You know, Vlier was this, I mean, Threes was this unpretentious place. You know, it was just a concrete bar, and, you know, they had some board games, and, you know, they had this little place up, a few steps where you could buy things from the case.
And you bought some Vlier.
I bought some Vlier and took it home. And since then, I've been, you know, praying that they would release Vlier in this area, but they haven't. We've sent someone up one time to get it. And so that's maybe my favorite experience, where I went from so disappointed to so happy in a very quick time, and it didn't even involve drinking that much. It just involved having a sip and thinking, oh, thank God we're here.
Yeah.
And that really set the rest of the day
off. Yeah, the rest of the day was amazing. I actually have two as well. My first, this is not chronological. This is just the first I'd like to share. I'm a huge Tired Hands fan. You'll probably hear me talking about Tired Hands many times in this podcast. For a short while, about 11 months, I lived right down the street from Tired Hands, to the point where the line from the brewery encroached on my street. It was there.
It happened.
Yeah. If I could see the line from my house, I knew that I was staying home
and not getting the beer.
And not getting the beer. But recently my brother-in-law has gotten into beer, and a couple of times I've taken him to Tired Hands and really taken him under my wing in terms of craft beer, and we end up just getting like semi-small pours of nearly everything and splitting them, and it's really cool to see his eyes widen every time he takes a sip of a beer that just blows his mind. Every time he's like, that might be the best beer I've ever had. And then he has another sip of the next one. That might be the best beer I've ever had. And I just love passing on my passion to him. And now he, you know, he'll go there without me. And he'll, he finds himself, he'll text me when he's at bars. Like he's gone to my favorite bar, which is local 44 in the city in Philly. And he'll be like, this is what I'm having now. And just that camaraderie and that thing that we have now that we can share is really cool, and it was all built out of a brewery. And then the other great brewery experience I've had was that same trip to New York. We stacked that trip. I mean, literally, other half, Threes, Innerborough, KCBC, LIC, Greenpoint, and Single Cut. And I just remember our last stop was Single Cut. That was the one I was the most excited about because at that point, that was my favorite brewery. The only thing we could get down by us was their two beers in bomber bottles. We could get Softly Spoken Magic Spells or Full Stack in bottles, which is foreign to us now because now you can walk in almost anywhere and get at least four different Single Cut beers.
In cans.
Yeah, in cans. And I remember we went there. And it was just a great experience. I was, at that point, you know, I was drunk.
We were in our cups.
Yeah, we were in our cups. And I just remember seeing they had like a little fridge in the back of their bar with their to-go beers. And they had four packs of Softly Spoken Magic Spells. And I was like, that is my favorite beer. And over the sound system, they had a turntable hooked up. And they were playing Fleet Foxes, which is my favorite band. And they said, why don't you come back and look at the brew equipment? We're going to show you the back. They took me alone to the back. And it was amazing. Sorry, Jeff. They just took me.
It was my birthday.
I know. Well, I hijacked your birthday. And I remember I drank Weird and Gilly that day. That was the beer I had. But I just remember thinking, we made this day happen. We hit seven breweries in one day. I had beers from seven breweries in one day. And it was just the culmination of a great beer experience that would kind of set my beer drinking habits for the next, you know, since then, which is, you know, now almost 3 years. And
it was a really interesting experience to know that we were going to try to hit seven breweries and pace yourself accordingly.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of actually my most successful attempts at pacing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we were in our cups by the time we got to Single Cut. But, like, you know, we can all pretty clearly remember how Single Cut went. And, you know, I don't remember the name of the lager that I got that day, but there was a lager that they got that was incredible, and it was just right to end the day on sort of a lighter note. You know, I remember, you know, they were out of one of the pieces of merch that I wanted. I remember the music. I don't remember you getting a tour.
Yeah, I snuck off to the back, yeah. And they showed, and Fleet Foxes was blasting. It was awesome. But that was a fun day. I mean, we were introduced to some breweries we had never heard of before. I mean, KCBC, I think we loved. We played, I don't remember what board game we were playing because that was like the middle of the day. We were kind of tired. We hadn't eaten our pizza yet. You know, at that point, we were just happy. We had pints in front of us. The people at KCBC were so knowledgeable and friendly, and it was such like a clean, unpretentious space. You were just kind of like, this is nice.
Yeah. I mean, they were so nice. You know, they heard it was my birthday and they just handed me a pint of this smoked Hellas that they made, and I was like, well, now it's going to be really hard not to make you my favorite stop of the day.
Yeah.
Going back quickly to your Tired Hands point, you know, I give you a lot of crap about Tired Hands, but I think the breweries like Tired Hands and, you know, and The Alchemist and Treehouse, yeah. You know, they have their cultists.
Yep.
They draw cultists, and so, like, you know, when they were at a point where they were doing those releases and the lines would back up to your house, which was, you know, a block and a half away. It would have been a very large line. You know, there were a lot of cultists in there, and there were people who were buying the beer not even to drink it. They were buying it as a status symbol. They were buying it to trade. But if you go to any of those places yourself and you actually sit down and you have the beer, you enjoy it.
Yeah.
a third favorite brewery experience was I went back to Other Half a couple months ago. I was up in New York for work, and I decided to stay in Brooklyn. And on the day after I got there, which was also the day I was going on, was a very quick trip, I decided to, in the middle of the day, run over to the Other Half and see what they had. And, you know, it wasn't a can release day. It was just a normal day at Other Half. And I very quickly forgave them all their sins for that one day. You know, and I realized that there's a reason people like the beers as much as they do, because they're fantastic beers.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about the breweries and the brewery experiences we love, you know, but there is a flip side to it. Like, are there any breweries you just, that don't jive with you? Do you avoid any breweries?
Ooh, breweries you avoid.
Yeah.
Like you walk into the shop and...
Like you just don't even give them a thought when you see them on the shelf, or, you know, if someone offers you or you go to like a barbecue, you just turn a blind eye.
The one that comes to mind first is Ballast Point.
And
not for the reason that I suspect that you're going to talk about when I return the question to you, in that they sold the Constellation a couple years ago. They're back with a, well, they're still sold, but it's to a smaller conglomerate. Ballast Point started, Sculpin was hard to find, and it was delicious, and it was done really well. And then they did Grapefruit Sculpin. They also did Victory at Sea, and they did, you know, they had a great amber that was very good, but, you know.
Yeah.
But then they did Grapefruit Sculpin, which I thought was inspired. It was great. It was such a good beer. And then they sold, and I don't believe that this is the case in all breweries that sell. But Ballast Point, their quality definitely went down. And Grapefruit Sculpin was no longer as good. They started doing other fruit sculpins. They did pineapple sculpin. They did habanero sculpin. It was just like, how many different fruit extracts can we throw into sculpin and sell it to you fools?
Jeff, did you ever try that habanero sculpin?
I did.
Me too.
It wasn't terrible, but...
Jeff, it sucked. It was bad. That was bad.
The experience of drinking it is you drink it, and at first it tastes like sort of vegetal and fresh. And you're just like, okay, well, all right, I see what they're doing here. And then the spice comes, and you desperately want something to drink, and the only thing sitting in front of you is habanero sculpin.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, I know.
There's no relief in sight. But yeah, so I would say that if there's a brewery I tend to avoid, it's Ballast Point. You know, not explicitly because they sold, but because after they sold, they weren't creative anymore. They just started throwing fruit and stuff.
The brewery I do avoid, and I hate to say this because I used to love them, is Lagunitas. I used to get anything Lagunitas. They had like an unlimited repertoire of hoppy beers, and then they'd also make some like stouts that were delicious. And it breaks my heart to say it, but then they sold out. They sold out like Ballast Point. They sold out like Wicked Weed, like Goose Island. Some of these breweries that like you grew up loving, like the breweries that you like kind of came of age with, they decided that they were no longer going to play in the independent game. And, you know, they always say, you know, we're the same company and we're this and that. But yeah, you're the same company, but you just pocketed like millions and millions of dollars, which kind of takes away from the small brewery out there that's struggling to make it. It takes tap lines away from those breweries that are trying to make it. Lagunitas, you know, Brown Sugar and Hop Stupid, those beers I used to love. Even the freaking Lagunitas IPA was a great West Coast IPA. Now I won't touch it. I won't touch it. And I love their Fresh Hop Pale Ale. I won't touch it. Don't put it near me. I'm not drinking it. It's just not going to happen.
I don't go as far as you. I still will have Lagunitas. I never liked Lagunitas as much as you do. You did. I was never a huge fan of Brown Sugar. I really didn't like the Little Something. I really like Lagunitas IPA. It's a good beer. And I'll drink it if I'm at a place where that's the best beer they have. It's a rare occasion where that happens anymore. Right. Lagunitas also makes a hopped seltzer that I really enjoy.
That
non-alcoholic.
No, I know. I purchased the Lagunitas beer. I purchased that for a friend of mine who cannot process alcohol. So he is a beer fan. He drinks usually the I think he drinks the Heineken that has no alcohol. And I thought, let's try something different for him. So I got that Lagunitas. It's like a hop water. Mm-hmm. And he dug it. And I had a sip. And, you know, it's hop water. Like, it's like hop soda.
That said, if any of the, you know, certified craft brewers want to start making a hop water, I'll buy from you.
Yeah, seriously.
I'll buy from you instead. Though I will say, Matt, and listeners, drink. I'm a home brewer.
Yeah, drink.
If Constellation came to me and offered me a bunch of millions of dollars, I'm not sure I could say no.
So real quick, before we part ways with our devoted listeners, the 10 of them, when you see a beer on the shelf and you turn the can around and it has two breweries' logos, a collaboration, if you will, well, are you excited about this or are you like, no, not for me? What do you think, Jeff?
I'm kind of neither, I guess. If I'm picking up, yeah. So that day at that day in New York, the collaboration between Trillium and Monkish and Other Half, you know, had the potential to turn me off to collaborations forever. But no, now I just kind of think. I mean, one of these was clearly in charge. So, you know, if I like either of the breweries, I'll still be okay with it. You know, a collaboration doesn't make me any more or less likely to buy the beer. What about you? Does it make you more likely to buy the beer?
You know, I'll go both ways on this. Like, while I was living in Ardmore, Tired Hands did a collaboration with Hill Farmstead. And I remember thinking,
That collab makes a lot of sense.
Oh my goodness. These breweries are so similar. They both make really delicious hazy IPAs. They both have a really strong focus on barrel-aged saisons. And I thought this could not be there could not be a more perfect relationship than Hill Farmstead and Tired Hands. I had it, and it was fine. It was fine. But I've had some other great collaborations. I've had... I had a really, really good IPA that was a collaboration between New Trail and Dancing Gnome in Pittsburgh that I really enjoyed. Last episode, I mentioned an Imperial Schwartz beer that I've purchased that was a collaboration between Single Cut and KCBC. You and I are doing a stout night coming up, and our friend Chris is bringing a collaboration between Evil Genius in Philadelphia and Great Notion out in Portland, Oregon that I cannot wait to try. Mostly because Great Notion is like the king of stouts. I mean, they make a blueberry muffin or a blueberry pancake stout that is all the rave. So I get excited because what's better than one brilliant brewery, two brilliant breweries? I mean, when you think about brilliant people, if you put them in a room, you're bound to get brilliant results.
But put two idiots in a room, you're bound to get this podcast.
Yeah. I'm starting to understand that. You know, I think collaborations need to be taken with a grain of salt. I don't think you're getting a great brewery and another great brewery making an even greater beer. I think you've got to kind of temper your expectations. You're getting a good beer made by good beer making people. To me, it's like it's not any different than a beer from one brewery. They're hanging out. They're making a beer. They know what they're doing.
Well, then it's not really temper your expectations. More is just like. Just have the same expectations you have for a regular beer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably going to be the same experience. It's either going to be amazing or okay, or I'd rather not drink that again.
Right. So, I mean, I think that it's cool to see. The one thing I will say is it's cool to see breweries hanging out and making beer. Like, it lets you know that these breweries, while they compete for shelf space and tap lines, they're also out there to... support each other, and they're part of a community that is in support of everyone, and they're all just trying to make good beer and keep people interested and keep people in tap rooms and bottle shops. And I mean, we can't complain about that because the result is great beer that we get to drink.
It is, and I'm grateful to have you as a collaborator. That'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on social media on Instagram @ShelfiePodcast. You can also visit us at ShelfiePodcast.com. where, you know, why don't you go to the comments section and tell us about your favorite brewery, your favorite collaboration, what are things you tend to avoid. You can subscribe to this show wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're at that podcast distribution service, please leave us a nice review. Until next week, I am Jeff Martin.
And I am Matt Pritz.
Cheers.